Now, Wisconsin continues to struggle with racial disparities in child well-being, according to a new report released today.
The first Race for Results report was published in 2014. In it, the well-being of African-American kids in Wisconsin came in last. This year, it ranked slightly higher at 41 out of 44 states surveyed. Beyond that, the report also showed that other children of color face significant barriers as well.
Ken Taylor is the executive director of Kids Forward, which is formerly the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
Great. Thanks, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
So one of the big headlines on this, Ken, was Wisconsin's disparity now, the gap between mostly white and African-American kids was the widest in the nation. Can you talk about that finding?
Sure. And that's unfortunately, that was also the case in 2014 when the first version of this report was released. And so that's one thing that is similar between last time and this time. And we see the way that this report is created is they look at 12 different indicators and then combine them together and look at the overall well-being of kids. And when we do that, we find that there are huge disparities between white kids here in Wisconsin and kids of color in general, and the biggest gaps are between white kids and African-American kids in Wisconsin.
Among those measures, where do we see the biggest gaps?
Well, some of the things that we're most concerned about are around income and poverty. And so, for example, one of the data indicators is children who grow up in families that are at twice the poverty line, and that's what's considered appropriate to raise a family on. And so that's the indicator they use. And for white kids, 72% of white kids in Wisconsin live in families above 200% of the poverty line, compared to just 24% of African-American kids, 30% of Latino kids, and half of Asian kids. But when we break it down by subpopulation within Asian kids and Asian populations, we find that there's big disparities there as well. So only 32% of Hmong kids in Wisconsin are at that 200% of the poverty line. And then American Indian kids, just over a third, 36% of them live at that, are in families above 200% of poverty. So we know the long-term impacts of kids growing up in poverty has detrimental effects long into the future, and so that's one that we're really concerned about.
Right. We can look at some of the other measures in a bit, but how much of those other measures, how much of other problems we see starts with that huge disparity in income?
Right, and I think that's a great question, and all these things are interconnected, and they're complex, and the cause and effect is complex, and so is the poverty related to the education in the previous generation, or yes, and health and things like that, and so all of these things are interconnected, but there's no question that the fact that we have these huge disparities in income and poverty are one of the main factors.
I mean, is this a never-ending cycle? A low income leads to worse educational and other outcomes for kids who grow up as adults who have low income and raise kids with the same situation? I mean, how do you start to break that cycle?
Well, this is something that is created by people, and so we can change this. This is not something that is completely beyond our control, like the weather. And so, these conditions that low-income families find themselves in are, a lot of it has to do with the systems that people create. And so I would argue, I wouldn't say that it's easy, but it's not a never-ending cycle. And we actually know some things that we can do. And so we know that investing in education, particularly in the early years, has a huge impact. So there are things that we can do. And unfortunately, in too many cases, we're choosing not to do them. We're making choices and investing or not investing in things that we know make a difference. But this is not inevitable.
Talking to Ken Taylor, executive director of the group Kids Forward, looking at the new Race for Results report. looking at the overall well-being of Wisconsin kids, kids across the country for that matter, and at disparities by income level and by racial and ethnic groups in the state. Ken, since that that original report in 2014, have we seen good news? Have we seen signs of improvement here in Wisconsin?
So overall, I wish I could say the answer to that is yes, but I really can't. So that we have, we still have these huge gaps that we need to really take on. And there are different efforts that are taking place in different parts of the state that need to be applauded. And so there are people that are working hard on this. But this is, this is a multi-generational challenge. We have to address it both with a sense of urgency, because there's kids who aren't going to be ready for kindergarten, and they're not going to get a second chance at that. So we have to work urgently. But we also know that this is the great American challenge. And so we have to have a long-term commitment, and we know to make real change, it's going to take more than the 3 years between the first report and the second report. That said, there are some indicators where in some places in the state we are making some progress. In Madison, for example, there's been a concerted effort around high school graduation, and in some of the high schools we've seen some positive trends. We need to continue to watch that to make sure that that's an ongoing thing. We've seen some small decreases in teen childbirth or increase in those who are delaying childbirth, so that's some good news. And then we've also seen some small increases in for African-American young adults in their completion of associate's degrees. And so those are important things to highlight that we can make progress on these things, but the changes need to be we need to invest more, and we need to think over the long term and not just say, okay, we made this little change over this period, and so now we're done.
We keyed in some on the income levels as one of the measures in this report. What are some of the other findings that struck you, that worry you, that were maybe the same or worse than they were in 2014?
Yeah, so unfortunately, one of the things that we can't compare just because of the way the data is created is around high school graduation rates, but that's another one of those sentinel indicators. And so we're really concerned. So I can't say how this changed from the first report, but I can say that, again, we see significant racial disparities in high school graduation. So for white kids, we have a high rate of 93% graduating on time. For American Indian kids, that's 78%. For African-American kids, that's 64%. So that's one area. But one of the things that I think is really important for listeners to understand is earlier on, one of the things that we're really concerned about is fourth grade reading scores. And so those are low across the board. And that's really important because we know the educators say that up to, through third grade, kids are learning to read. And subsequent to that, they're reading to learn. And so if you're behind in reading by fourth grade, it's really hard to stay up with your peers. And that the reading proficiency level across all racial and ethnic groups is low. So the statewide average is 37%, meaning only 37% of fourth graders are reading at the fourth grade level. And then when you break it down by race, it's even more troubling. Only 11% of African-American kids, 19% of Latino kids. And so that's something that I think all of us need to be really concerned about, across all racial demographic, geographic, and income levels. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important to invest in education in the early years to turn those numbers around for everyone.
We're looking at the findings of the latest Race for Results report, which finds big racial disparities among kids in Wisconsin. Ken Taylor's with us. He's executive director of the group Kids Forward.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Families and teachers, we want to hear from you. What kinds of challenges are there for children of color in the state? And what can we do to help all of Wisconsin's kids succeed? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we're looking at the racial disparities among kids in Wisconsin and in the country with Ken Taylor. He's the executive director of Kids Forward.
We're looking at a new report on the well-being of kids, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think Wisconsin is doing well to help children succeed at all of all races and of all ethnic and economic backgrounds? Where do you see room for improvement? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ken, a couple times you've mentioned early child education. How are we doing on that in Wisconsin? What's the state of pre-kindergarten education?
Yeah, so it's really a mixed picture across the state. So we have a lot of early childhood service provision in a bunch of different kinds of programs. So, you know, many people know about Head Start. We also have 4K that's both in the schools and served by private agencies. And one of the main things that we work on here at Kids Forward is around high quality early care for birth to 5-year-olds. And that is for low-income folks. That is subsidized through a program called Wisconsin Shares, and we have historically had a robust early learning system. But over the last few years, there's been some real challenges. There's been a significant decline in the level of public support for early learning. So we invest $100 million less now than we did 8 years ago, and so I have some real concerns about that, because we know that it's a challenge for families across the income spectrum to get high quality early learning for their young kids, and it's particularly challenging for low income families. And so I think that we need to invest more in that, and we need more in higher quality. And the public systems are working on that, but we need to do better.
We'll go to our callers now. We'll start with Sharita in Madison. Hi.
Hi. This is an awesome discussion. Like, it totally goes down to the simple fact that, you know, Scott Walker and everything that kind of goes along with his agenda kind of puts the black people in Wisconsin in a poor position. I just think that knowing that people are not eligible to make enough money to pay for the housing that's really high in Madison, and then, you know, the kids kind of have to worry about having somewhere stable to live and, you know, a place to go after they get out of school. And when they're at home, they don't really get a chance to sit down and read or practice on, you know, what they've learned in class, because even at school they're probably worried about, you know, where they're going to go at night. And sometimes it just kind of takes a back seat to kind of the reality of this situation.
Sharita, thank you so much for calling. And Ken, if children have housing insecurity, food insecurity, I mean, that's going to put them at a big disadvantage when they're learning.
There's no question that that's a huge challenge. If you're a kid and you don't have a sense that you know where you're going to sleep at night, or if you don't have a quiet place to read or study, or if you go to school hungry, it's going to be hard to concentrate and hard to make progress. And I would say also that this is a long-term challenge, and, you know, there are things that are happening currently politically that I think are making this challenge much more difficult, and we need to take a look at that. And these are also challenges that have been making in, you know, long time in the making, and so so we need to come together around the investments that we need to make to address them.
Thanks for the call, Sharita. We'll go next to Jill on the line in Milwaukee. Jill, hi.
Hi. I appreciate your covering this topic. I am a former teacher, and I also have a relative who came home the other day and just finished testing for reading levels. There is a student in eighth grade who tested at the pre-5K reading level, not a special ed child. Students have been pushed through just consistently, and I saw this also when I was in teaching. It was part of the reason that I left. It wasn't doing a service to them at all.
Jill, thanks for the call. Ken, a discouraged teacher there, seeing these kind of results. What do you say to her?
Well, I sort of appreciate that that she did is a teacher and worked hard on that, and understand the frustration. And so one of the things that I think is really important to say to teachers and to all of us is that a lot of these challenges are outside of the schoolhouse doors. And so, we need to better support teachers and better support our educators. And we have to do more outside of school, because there's only so much that they can achieve and so much that they can do in the time that they have with the students. And so when we see these sorts of challenges, yes, we need to challenge our educators. And we also need to know that, like we were saying earlier, the early years, the poverty, the point that Sarita brought up around housing insecurity and education, all these things are interconnected. And so we have to do better on all these fronts.
Jill, thanks for that call. And Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Ken Taylor. He's executive director of Kids Forward. He joined us today to look at why the racial disparity gap when it comes to children's well-being has been so hard to close, and look at what's being done to improve that situation here in Wisconsin.